you're an astronomy professor, and you gave this presentation about Doomsday 2012 predictions and Mayan calendar and all of that.
That's right.
You know, as I have read my monthly or quarterly archaeology magazines that I get, and they have written up several things about the Mayan calendar and the end of the world stuff. One of the points that people seem to want to make is that the Mayans deserve better than this, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's clearly a misinterpretation, and I don't think it's the archaeologists. I think actually the History Channel has a lot to answer for. And it's really people on the internet just making the most of it. It has less credibility than the Y2K scare, and it's not fair on the Mayans that are still around or the ones that made the calendar in the first place. It's merely a calendar, just like the one I have on my wall that ends on December 31st.
As I understand it, too, from my magazines. They're basing all of this basically on just one of many Mayan calendars. Am I correct in what I've read?
Well, this is a really important calendar, and so one of the things that people often don't realize is that of all the Mayan artifacts and sites that have been discovered, only about 10% of that stuff has actually been properly investigated. So there are findings that are put out there that are real, like this calendar, and I'm not sure that there are that many, but there's a new one been found like this year, and that really suggests that even some of the interpretation by the real specialist is a little off. But it's not so much that there are lots of calendars, but that this one is probably not the only one, and that we haven't investigated everything yet.
But basically, the Mayans have calendars just like we have calendars, and you touched on this. A calendar ends, and another calendar gets started.
That's right. I mean, theirs takes a lot longer, and it's astronomical. I mean, in some ways, our calendar is astronomical. So a day is how long it takes for us to spin, for the Earth to spin its axis, and a year is how long it takes us to go around the sun, more or less. And a month is how long it takes the moon to go around the, well, it, actually, it's the, how long it takes between moon phases, between full moons. And so we also use astronomy for setting the dates. Theirs uses astronomy, so it's not surprising that it ends on a solstice. But theirs is just longer. We tend to think of ours as being a year, but we also use decades and centuries and millennia. And theirs is set up to be in units of about 400 years, and this particular calendar has 13 of them because 13 was like a sacred number, just like often 7 is considered lucky in Western society.
Okay. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I just heard a tone of some kind in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And you stopped.
I'm in my office.
Okay. Okay. Well, have classes dismissed up there yet? Are they done yet?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I caught you, because a lot of times when the classes are done with, the professors are out of the office.
Oh, this is when we can get real work done.
Yeah. Yeah. So what a lot of people come up with end of the world predictions. Mm-hmm. Where does this fit in with all of the others, other than the fact that it's just not going to happen?
Right. Well, it's not going to happen. I mean, the interesting thing has been some of the specific predictions that people have made that are related to this. And like I said, there was a History Channel show maybe 5 years ago that first brought this up. And one of them is that we're going to be hit by a mythical planet called Nibiru. And 5 years ago, when this was suggested, it was very difficult to argue that, well, you know, how do we know it's not there? Because it's, you know, it's so far away at that point that you would need, with modest telescope, you could see it, but naked eye, you wouldn't. But it's now 2 days out, and a planet the size of Jupiter, we can see Jupiter in the sky, you know, with naked eye, you don't need the telescope to see it. If it was as close as it needs to be colliding with us in 2 weeks, it would be as, you know, bright as on the full moon. We'd be able to see it in the middle of the day. So, you know, there's some of these things where you don't have to apply too much common sense to figure out that, you know, it was a fun myth to start with, but now it's just silly.
I guess one of the things that is always kind of tragic in my mind when I think of people coming up with end-of-the-world predictions is the irrational behavior that some folks take that turns out sometimes to be fatal. because of this?
Absolutely. There have been people who have committed suicide over this particular prediction. And there's a guy, Dr. Morrison, who works at the SETI Institute, who does this Ask an Astronomer blog. And he has been speaking out for years and years, and he gets hate mail and death threats and gets accused of being part of a conspiracy that's covering up the doomsday. And literally people have sent him notes, suicide notes. And it's tragic that, people are so afraid of something and they don't have the background knowledge to be able to apply some critical thinking to the situation and go, okay, what's really going on?
As an astronomer, fill me in on what the solstice is and what time officially on the 21st will we hit it?
Ooh, now that's a good question. So officially, the winter solstice has got several definitions. From an astronomy point of view, it is the it is the point at which the sun is at its lowest point in the sky, is basically the best way of putting it. Essentially, we have seasons because the axis of the Earth's rotation has a tilt with respect to the sun. And when we're in summer, we're tilting, the northern hemisphere is tilting most towards the sun, and in the southern hemisphere, summer is when the southern hemisphere is tilting most towards the sun, and that's our winter, and that's when the winter solstice is. And so it's exactly that point in time, but it's also usually considered to be that longest night or shortest day of the year. And obviously it's the summer solstice if you're in the southern hemisphere, so it's not winter all over the planet. I actually don't know when the precise winter solstice is. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. Okay.
Winter solstice. It is at, oh, yeah, I did know that, actually. It's at 11:12, and that's actually, it's universal time, which is basically Greenwich Mean Time. So that means that it's at 5:12 a.m., in Missouri.
Okay, so if we want the precise time when the world is going to end, that's when it's going to end, and when most of us are asleep.
Right, but if you actually, I mean, this is one of the things that I've been trying to get people to think about in terms of applying the critical thinking. If you watch the History Show channel, or you read these websites, or look at the YouTube videos, they're all saying, oh, it'll happen at sunrise on the solstice, thinking of solstice as the day. Well, sunrise on the solstice and it being 5:12 means that you have to be probably somewhere in Brazil, maybe. You think about how late the sun rises for us, and it's going to be 5:12 in the morning here, so it would be 6:12 on the East Coast, but the sun doesn't rise at 6:12 even in Florida in winter. So when is it that when is the actual event supposed to happen? Who's sunrise? The sunrise in the UK is at, 7:30 in the morning or something like that, but it's only 1:30 in the morning here. And so that's one of the things that I've been trying to have people think about, is when you listen to these myths, they're very vague, and when you start to apply those sort of questions, can you make sense of it?
Do you know off the top of your head when the earliest civilizations that we know of started observing the solstices?
I actually don't know, but the Babylonians set up, it's approximately 4,000 years ago that they set up the idea of the zodiac as a way of timekeeping, and the solstices are kind of inherent in that. So I'm guessing that's more or less the time that it would have first been noticed. It's difficult to say, because if you're at a northerly latitude, the seasons are much more distinct than if you're at equatorial latitude. So, I'm not sure whether there would have been quite the same interest in the solstices with the early humans in Africa, for instance, until they got further away from the equator. but I don't know exactly when. Certainly, at least 4,000 years.
Yeah, the reason I was asking was because my wife and I have done some archaeological work out in the Southwest with an archaeologist astronomer who goes around looks for these sites where the ancient peoples mark the solstice as a shadow or something that shines through a hole in a wall or something. So these we've had pretty sophisticated ways of noting the solstice for thousands and thousands of years.
Well, if we think about Stonehenge, for instance, and, you know, Britain is clearly, it's further north than the U.S., it has fairly significant seasonal changes, especially in daylight time. And Stonehenge is about 3,000 B.C., I think, so that would be 5,000 years. And so, you know, and the Stonehenge is clearly aligned to solstices and equinoxes. So I think that that's evidence of it going back that far. But if once you get much further back, you're heading into not having some of those areas populated yet.
Well, in my lifetime and in your lifetime, we have lived through several ends of the world.
That's right.
And I always wait for somebody who makes these predictions to come around a couple of days later and apologize to everybody for the trouble they caused. And I don't think I ever see it. But this will be another one that we survive.
Yeah, no, there will not be apologies, and there will, I've had hate mail for posting things on blogs and websites, and there won't be any apologies. I quite like the thing that's going around on Facebook right now that says, if you really think the world's going to end, feel free to drop off all your belongings at my house. It's like, yep, I'll take that. And then you find out who's really serious. So,
well, there's money to be made in apocalyptic talk.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of
absolutely.
It. Yeah.
Well, like I say, I think the television media has an awful lot of the blame, I think is probably the way I would put it. They've done a lot of publicity on some of this stuff, especially some of the History, Discovery, those sort of channels. Pushing pseudoscience, and that's just not helpful.